Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are live and underway. Don't forget, if you missed the live show, most days you can catch the replay here on the Big X at 3 o'clock, and we always are available later in the afternoon as a podcast as well on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Those are two of the easiest ways to catch us if you want to catch us as a podcast format. Thanks for being with us. No matter how you're listening to the program today, it's glad to be back. Thanks to Lee Kelly for filling in Friday. We had a best of program yesterday with Steve Green, who we did that interview about a month ago after the Silver Creek State Championship. Great guy to talk to. Look forward to having him back with us over the summer when he can spend some more time talking about his time, not only at IU, but in Southern Indiana as well. And it's great to be back with you live here on this Tuesday, be with you every day for the remainder of this week. In fact, we're going to play radio a lot this week because Lee Kelly and I will head to Bedford North Lawrence, weather pending. Gosh, I saw some potential storms tomorrow night for the sectional, the 4A sectional. We'll have the Floyd Central game for you a little bit before 8 o'clock, we hope, if everything stays on schedule tomorrow night. And then we'll be back on Saturday afternoon for what could be a terrific day of baseball. We know for sure. In the second game, we'll get New Albany and Jeffersonville, big rivalry going against each other in that bye game of the sectional, with the winner moving on to the championship Monday on Memorial Day. And likely the first game, if Floyd Central wins tonight, will obviously carry that as well. If it's Floyd Central Bedford in that first game and New Albany Jeff in the second, as we know that'll happen, that could be a really good day of baseball. I know Bedford's a little bit of a trip. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. I know the championship game's played in the middle of the day on Monday as well. So don't worry, if you can't make it to Bedford, we're going to be there for every pitch involving Floyd Central, New Albany, and Jeffersonville. Whether you want to stay with us for the entire broadcast or just tune in from time to time to get a score update during your Memorial Day festivities, we'll be there Wednesday, Saturday, and Monday, and very much look forward to being there. Postseason sports, it doesn't matter if it's the Eastern Conference Finals, or I guess the Western Conference Finals that I watched last night, or if it's college or even high school, something outside of the all-popular high school basketball like baseball. It's fun. There's a different feel when you walk in the park or the gym or the stadium or wherever you're at. And Big X Sports Radio, we're glad to be there for those moments and bring them back to you here in Southern Indiana. So we're excited about that and a lot to get to today on the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll do our Hoosier headlines. We'll take a look at a number of news topics. Romeo in Chicago at the NBA Draft Combine. We'll take a look at Trendon Watford's decision to pick LSU yesterday afternoon, which to me wasn't that big a surprise. Some Indiana fans that I've heard of think the world's caving in on recruiting right now. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, an interesting Big Ten coaching tidbit we'll get to. And I got to talk for just a moment. I know it's something that happened over the weekend when we weren't with you, and we weren't with you yesterday live at least to talk about it, but we got to talk about IU baseball for a second. Big Ten champions for this year after a sweep over Rutgers over the weekend. So big stuff for them. That's the what we'll do in segment one. Segment two, we'll have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. If you listen and you know Greg and you read Greg's columns, you know Greg's a lot of fun to have with us on the program. If I understood Greg right earlier today, he's going to join us from a Pacers workout He was going to watch the Pacers work out a couple potential draft picks for them. And I understand. I think that he's going to be in there when he talks with us. So he can give us a little bit more of an update on things there. But we'll talk Romeo. We'll talk NBA draft. We'll talk some IU stuff with him when Greg joins us, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming up in the next segment. Also, later in the program on Tuesdays, we always have Mike Pegram, author of Pigs.com with us. And there's a lot to get to with him, a lot of recruiting stuff to talk about. Trendon Watford again to LSU yesterday. We'll talk about what's next. That's kind of what causes the panic is that Indiana's lost on a number of recruits here lately in the 2019 class. I'm not sure that they're recruits outside of someone like Trendon Watford, where they've had a long, deep relationship. They've had one with him, but I think it's a number of guys Indiana's jumped in with more recently, and sometimes those are hard to pull off, especially when you're going against other schools that maybe have had a longer relationship or can offer more recent success to put forward, or maybe some more confidence in who's returning for some of the other schools that these kids are committing to. I mean, it's hard to compete with Memphis right now. I know they haven't had a ton of success, but they're obviously building for the future and a hot commodity right now. And LSU, outside of, you know, being called out to Will Wade with some issues there, they have been successful in turning a big corner as well. So we'll see what happens, but we'll talk about Trendon Watford and other recruiting notes. What's Indiana going to do with the scholarships? What's coming up with recruiting? And some of the things with the team in the offseason with Mike Pegram when he joins us a little bit later on the program. That's the guest lineup today, a service of Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's look quickly at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Romeo Langford in Chicago at the NBA Draft Combine. Didn't do anything on the court, did a couple of interviews, and I'm going to talk about those here in just a second. But I think I gave some of the measurements last week, but let's go through the detailed measurements just in case you were wanting to know. Romeo Langford's hand length in inches, 9 inches. His hand width in inches, 9 inches. His height without shoes, 6'4.5". His height with shoes, 6'6". His standing reach, 8'7". And his wingspan, 6'11". He did not, as we said last week, he did not have his weight or body fat measured. At least it wasn't listed with the initial stuff that came out last week. But according to other reports, he chose not to. For whatever reason, maybe upon the agent's advice, maybe for some reason, I don't know. It's hard to say why players skip over certain things. Some players did not do any of the measurements at all. Some of the guys that are near the top of some of the mock drafts out there, they just skipped it all together. In fact, after some conversations and interviews, a couple of them didn't participate in anything at all. Interviews, both with coaches and NBA personnel, interviews with the media, measurements, anything. They just left after a couple conversations. So a number of interviews. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall has a story up right now where he's kind of combined a lot of interviews from some different NBA team sites and some different media sources out there where you can kind of watch one of them after another. One of the big interviews that Romeo did was on ESPN during their draft combine coverage, which if you watched any of it, it really wasn't like good basketball to watch. I don't think any of us expected it would be, but it was more informational as they were showing the game. There was always an interview going on, or there was always a guest on or something that was pretty informative as to what all was going on in Chicago and what's to come with the NBA draft process and you know, getting a look at where people are expected to go. And that stuff's getting updated now. Obviously, now that a lot of this is concluded and the media people that do this and the guys that do the mock drafts have had a chance to be around some of the decision makers in Chicago and see where some of the workouts happen and be maybe a part of some of those workouts, get to watch some of those workouts. They'll update even more between now and the actual draft coming up later in June. But here's a quote from Romeo Langford, a pretty strong quote, really. And if you look at all of his interviews, and I went through and watched all of them again this morning, read a couple things, watched some of the videos on Alex's site, really, Romeo was very confident. He's always been a good interview. He's quiet. He's well-spoken, but quiet, very soft, in what he has to say. Often didn't have a lot to say, but again, what he did say came out very nice. I mean, he was well-spoken, clearly an educated and a well-thought-out young man. But I thought in his interviews, when I watched them all back-to-back, I thought this guy's been coached up even more. I mean, he's ready to, I don't want to say be arrogant with anything, but he knows that he's got some skill and ability. He knows he's been held back because of a hand injury. He knows that the college season didn't go as well as he or as anyone else hoped. And he kind of looks like a guy and talks like a guy that's got a little bit more purpose to him and maybe a bigger chip on his shoulder. But this is just one quote from the ESPN draft combine coverage on television. He said, quote, "I feel like I'm the best in this draft. That's just the confidence I have, and I know what I'm capable of doing." And again, that's not, you know, I've never heard him question himself or not talk positive about himself with his accomplishments and things like that. But that's a bold statement, and I think it's good for him to have that chip, that confidence, that type of feel about his game, because those of us that have seen him over the years know he's got some very, very special and unteachable things about the game of basketball. Let's hope that he gets healthy. Let's hope he's able to have some good workouts between now and the draft with some of the teams that are most interested in him. And everybody wants to know, the question of the day with Romeo is, where's he going to go, Matt? What do you hear? Well, I don't know anything more than what I read. I really don't have any insight. I don't know that anyone truly does. But if you put the pieces together, if you really study some of the picks and some of the stories from the local media outlets that cover, like the NBA guy in Detroit that covers the Pistons for that local paper, or whoever covers whatever NBA team that's following the draft and did some draft combine coverage, it's clear to me his name is being mentioned most. And his name and skills and position that he's projected to be and what we think he can do in the NBA would fit anywhere, I think, between number 13 and number 17. And this isn't, you know, me just making a guess here. This is clearly there have been some connections to those teams. I know a lot of people wouldn't mind to see him fall to 18 because then the Indiana Pacers would get the opportunity to draft him. And I guess that's possible. I think anything's possible. It really would not surprise me. It really, truly would not surprise me if by the time the final couple mock drafts come out before the NBA draft in June, what is it, June 20th or June 20-something, if Romeo's not number 10 or around there. It really would not surprise me if he came up some. It really would not surprise me if ultimately when the draft happens, he goes 17, 18. But I think if I was making a bet, if I had to put thoughts together and reasons together based on the needs of some of the teams, based on who the teams have lost, based on the position needs, based on Romeo's skills, it sure would look to me like number 13, number 14, number 15, or number 16, or number 17, right in there. 13 through 17 is kind of a sweet spot for him. We'll see if he goes higher. We'll see if he goes lower. And again, these things are going to update. We're going to find out more, especially if he does some of the workouts with some of the teams that are interested with him over the next couple weeks leading up to the draft. And I don't know a number of interviews. I don't have a comprehensive list of every team that he met with, but obviously a lot of those, if not all of those 13 through 17 spots, were teams that he did meet with. He did meet with the Indiana Pacers as well in Chicago. Again, a lot of that stuff going on anywhere if you're in the vicinity of being able or being interested in someone, you go ahead and get with them face-to-face for an interview. Couple other quick notes. Trenton Watford picks LSU over Memphis, who was probably the next school to get him, although they have had so many commitments lately. I'm not sure what their scholarship situation looks like. Of course, a lot of IU fans disappointed because of the connection with Christian Watford, but I really never personally, I guess early on, when Trenton came to Indiana a couple times and had good things to say about IU, including Coach Crean and then Coach Miller, you were hopeful maybe that it would work out. But since then, as his recruitment developed further and really got serious, I really felt like Indiana was kept on the list kind of as a token because of the respect for the program and how good it was for his brother. I guess maybe you got a little extra glimmer of hope when LSU got into some trouble because that was the perceived front runner for him for a lot of the last 6-8 months maybe, that Indiana could get back in the picture and use that as a crack in the door. And maybe they did. It sure looked like they tried to, but ultimately, you know, I never had a ton of confidence they would get him. And that's something with these 2019 recruits. There's been a lot of different names that have been thrown forward or thrown out there that Indiana has offered or Indiana has tried to get, and they've swung and missed that. You can go down through a long list of names here in the last, you know, three months or so. But how many of those guys outside of Trendon Watford and Keon Brooks that Indiana has missed at, have they really been recruiting for any length of time outside of the high school season moving forward? And recruiting, a lot of times, the name of the game is when you get involved, how good the relationships are, not just with the player and the head coach, but with the player and the assistant coach. And now we hear players talking more about the strength and conditioning coaches and the relationships with them when they make a college decision. And obviously the parents and how they fit into things as well with the coaching staff and others that are involved in the program. So I'm concerned from an IU perspective. They've got two openings in 2019, and I have no idea what direction they're going, and I think they could still use some help for next year. But as far as Archie Miller losing his recruiting touch because he's missed out on some of these guys, I think he's done pretty good. That's been, to me, the highest score he would get in his time so far at Indiana still is his recruiting with Romeo Langford in the 2018 class that he put together. And, of course, 2019 following Romeo up with Trace Jackson Davis, back-to-back Mr. Basketballs. I still think recruiting, at least right now, a strong point for Archie Miller. I know some people think that, again, a lot of panic about where this Indiana team is at with recruiting right now. I've got a couple things still to get to. We'll do that after Greg Doyle, in between Mike Pegram. Stay with us for more. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next, presented by Coffee Crossing, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, as always, on Tuesdays. This segment, presented by Coffee Crossing. Highway 311 in Sellersburg is temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg location is still open and brewing great coffee daily. Greg, I think you're at, or were at, a Pacers workout for the upcoming draft with some local players of interest, guys with connections to the Indiana State in some form or fashion. Are you still there, or is it concluded?
I think where I'm going to be soon is on a helicopter, so I can parachute. 311's out. I guess you got to parachute in to Coffee Crossing. I need that dark chocolate coffee, baby. Oh. I love that. So where am I right now? I'm actually in my car heading towards, not the helipad, heading towards Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The Patriots are having one of the pre-draft workouts. Well, they had one this morning. I didn't go to that one. The one I'm going to is coming up soon. Carson Edwards will be there. And Derek Smith, you know, from Valpo, transferred to Butler, son of Rick, will be there. And there'll be a few other people, but I want to see Carson Edwards.
Greg, a lot of talk, and I spent a lot of the first segment today talking about Romeo. Now that the draft combine, some of the interviews, the measurements, those things are now in the books and what's next for him. Obviously, it's thought that as his hand improves and it's headed that direction, he will get the opportunity to participate in some workouts exactly like where you are headed right now. What do you think that NBA personnel that come to watch these drafts, that ultimately make the decisions on who they're going to draft and what spot, what do you think that they look for in these workouts? Is it specific skills? Is it more of an opportunity to get an up-close and personal chat with them as well? What all comes out of a day like what you're headed to here for the Pacers?
Well, for Romeo specifically, they're going to want to see him shoot from distance, and they're going to want to see – they're going to want to talk to him and just find out who are you, because he's not like – you know, Carson Edwards is hoping to get drafted, and will. But a lot of guys are just trying to, you know, talk their way or kind of work out their way onto someone's draft board. Romeo's trying to get his way into the lottery again, and that requires a little bit more than you know, some personality questions and also the shooting. And let's say this about Romeo. I hadn't really thought about it until this very moment. You say he's hoping to get some shooting drills in. He'll be so clearly rusty and getting used to this new wrist thumb that he has, you know, I mean, not a brand new one, but it's been repaired, and so the muscle memory that he's had all his life will be slightly altered by the fact that there's been an adjustment. Now, you know, you take your car to the dealer and they tighten up the balance or whatever, it's going to handle differently, and you might get used to it if you're a race car driver. So let's say this about Romeo. How selfless, really, how selfless he was this year to not get that address until after the season. I'm sure somebody, just like I just realized, someone had to realize this is going to compromise you and maybe even knock you out of pre-draft workouts, and it's certainly going to scare the hell out of draft people that had that surgery so shortly before the draft. And Indiana wasn't really going anywhere anyway, and he could have bailed. He could have bailed in January because that thumb was wrapped up all year. He could have bailed in January and had that surgery and gotten ready. And I hadn't thought about that until this moment. But good. I guess good for Romeo. I mean, really good for his character, yes. But I don't know if that has done him any services for the draft. I don't know. I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative. Maybe it shows what a wonderful person he is. I think it does show that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Back to your workout that you will attend today, a guy like Carson Edwards obviously won the hearts, maybe even of some IU fans. That might be a bold statement on this program, but with his performance in the NCAA tournament and how Purdue made what was a terrific run that ended there in heartbreak for Boilermaker fans. But a guy like him, how much does the NCAA tournament and big performances and memorable moments that catch the heart and minds of college basketball fans and those of us that cover it as well, how much does that factor into an NBA executive making a draft decision? Can that be an attention getter that leads to something else? Does it mean a lot, or is it really not that meaningful? It's more about the overall body of work.
I suspect it's not that meaningful. It's all about the overall body of work. However, that is the chapter one of that body of work, and it's certainly going to get looked at. I think scouts have to be leery when there's a red flag. And Carson, I love Carson Edwards, but the red flag is his size, obviously. And also, can he run an offense? And he hasn't shown, I mean, he's not going to get any taller, and he hasn't shown he can run an offense. He hasn't been asked to, but he hasn't shown he could. So when you have red flags, what you can't do, and I'm speaking for scouts, but if I can figure this out, I'm sure they can too. What you can't do is let three or four magical games override the red flags you see. Now, the red flags can be addressed. The height can't, but the league is getting smaller and, more perimeter-oriented, if you can shoot. But they will want to see him, handling the ball and passing and creating. It's just so weird to me. It happens to the NFL Combine, too. It's just so weird to me how you got all these guys on tape for all that time, and then you put them in t-shirt and shorts, and here goes 3-on-3 with some other guys. And how much is that really going to matter, compared to what you saw on tape? But it apparently does. That's why they have these workouts. But Carson, I think what it showed is what he's capable of. And he's all American, so we know he's capable of. But at the highest level, that's who he can be. And because you want to know what's your ceiling and what's your basement. And that was his ceiling. That was not a fluke. If it was one game, it could be a fluke. I mean, Myers Leonard went off last night. Sort of a fluke. I'm going to go out on a limb and say. Carson Edwards, what he did was not a fluke. It showed how good he can be when he's all locked in. And let's be honest, he's about to be basketball all the time. He works really hard, and I've written a few stories about that. He works so hard that when you get some guys like that, take school away from him, put him in the gym all the time, and the stuff that you do in the tournament, you might see that more of that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, their fourth location now open in Sellersburg. Greg, back to Romeo for a second. Two things, and this is the question of the day here. Obviously, everybody in his hometown and in southern Indiana specifically interested on, will he get drafted, at what point in the draft, where will he go, who are some of the teams he could go to. My answer to that has been, and this is just based on reading that I've done and other NBA teams and what their needs are, but it sure looks like you could bet that he would go between number 13 and number 17, and I think likely that's a good area for him, unless somebody wants to take a shot earlier on him in the drafts, depending on how things go with his hand and some of the workouts. My question to you is, do you agree with that, or where do you see him going when you kind of take a look at some of the projections out there right now? And do you think that he'll get a workout with the Pacers? I know they would be next in the picks that I listed at number 18.
Yeah, when you said 13 to 17, my ears perked right up because I know who's 18. I suspect he will. I mean, shoot, he's clearly – now, in the preseason and the mock drafts, and they're based on what scouts are telling these folks, so they sort of would know. In the preseason, he was a top 5, 6, 7 guy, and so he might not work out for a team drafting 18, especially a team like the Pacers, who really don't have a way to move up. They don't have the assets to move up. I don't think Sabonis would get it done. I mean, Oladipo would. They're not trading him. They're not idiots. So I don't know if he would have worked out for him, you know, had the season turned out the way people thought. But now he ought to, and I would think he'd want to. I don't think he wants to go 18. You know, I'm sure he wants to go so much higher than that. But at the same time, I wonder if he wants to be in the state. I don't know. I've never asked him this, but I wonder after the IU experience and the, you know, the microscope he was under that was any great player would be under, but it's different, you know, when you're Romeo in this state. It's just different. It's just different than anything I think I'm ever going to see again, that microscope. I wonder if he wants to be under that microscope again with the Pacers. That's if he ever shows up here. Well, of course he'd say yes if he's ever here. I'll ask him. He'll say yes, but I do have to wonder in the back of his head, would he kind of rather get a fresh start somewhere else or would it be his home state? I don't know. What do you think?
That is interesting. I think his answer would be exactly what you said. Obviously, he's not going to disrespect or misstep in his comments on that. But it is interesting to think about because, you know, I guess all these guys that we're talking about getting drafted, I mean, for sure Zion Williamson has been through every bit as much as Romeo, I think, when you look at it overall. I'm not sure that the attendance at his games was always at the level that Romeo's was or the autograph lines were. I really can't speak to that. But basketball, where he grew up, where he played at, is just different. But I guess in some form or fashion, all these guys have been put through the ringer with media, with pressure, with workouts and things like that. But it's still, and maybe it's because he's from right here in our backyard and we're also very proud of him, but not only of his game, how he handles himself, it's hard for me to believe that any of these guys have faced more from the fans and from the media than him, maybe outside of Zion Williamson. Do you think that's a fair belief, or do you think that all of them are weathered at this point with what goes on?
Well, they're all weathered, to answer that question. They've all been through it. I mean, there's very few surprises, secrets anymore, and not in this day and age. But short of Zion, no one's been through what he's been through, and maybe not even Zion. Zion took off his last couple of years. Romeo has been a thing in this state for 4 years. And just like, you know, there are rich people in this world, but they're not all the same. Somebody's the richest, right? And there's great athletes, but they're not all the same. Someone's the greatest. And that might, in basketball, that's Zion at any level. But as far as fame goes, these kids are all famous. They've all been put through the ringer. But somebody got put through it more than anybody else. You know, you have to rank them 1 through 30, and I'm going to put Romeo 1, Zion 2.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I know you got a workout to get to. Final question. I want to switch gears for this question. A lot of people, and I've heard from some of them on social media, specifically last night or yesterday afternoon when Trendon Watford, Christian's younger brother, committed to LSU, which I think everybody thought that's where he was going. At least for the last month or so, once Will Wade returned and was cleared by the school, at least, for any issues potentially. But a lot of people really down on Archie Miller and his recruiting. And I guess sitting here today, late May, the season over with, the season a disappointment in many ways. Romeo's freshman year has come and gone. A little bit unsure about the roster at this point for next year. And there's two openings in the 2019 class. I still don't have a great concern really at all about Archie's recruiting because of Romeo in 2018 with other guys, a mix of in-state and out-of-state guys, and, of course, backing that class up with Trace Jackson Davis. I understand, I think a lot of people do, you're not going to get every single player you want. And, yes, Indiana's whiffed on a lot of 2019 kids, but I feel like those are kids Indiana more recently got involved with, maybe dating back to the high school season, the winter months when they realized, hey, we're going to have some openings. We need to find some additional guys to target, especially when Keon Brooks said no. Do you, as you look at this thing with Indiana missing on some late guys here in 2019, do you sense any kind of concern with Archie losing his muster with recruiting, or do you think that's a little overreaction from some of the fan base?
It's an overreaction, but it makes sense. It's human nature. Coming off the season IU's coming off of, and not just a mediocre season, but a mediocre season where no one thought that would happen. So it's, you know, when you expect to go 17-16 and you go 17-16, that sucks. But when you expect to go 25-9 and you go 17-16, now you get overreactions afterwards because everybody's so upset, and I get it. And I'm sure I've written a few things that maybe were over. You know, I'm sure I was guilty of it myself at times. Hell, I know I am. So I, but no, you get Romeo 1 year, and you follow that with Trace Jackson Davis, and he got Trace after Romeo's year was already kind of not going great. Despite the fact that Romeo's year wasn't going great, he still got Trace. You get McDonald's All Americans back to back years. I couldn't say that's a bad thing or say he's not getting it done. As for Trenton Watford, hope you can hear me okay when I say this. I saw that across the ticker, I guess, last night. He's going to LSU, and my eyebrows went way up. And how could they not? It's just, if I'm Will Wade, I'm gonna sign a whole bunch of walk-ons for the next 3 years. I'm gonna keep my head down, because every time he gets a guy like Trenton Watford, I don't like how it looks. We heard him on that tape, and a few months later, you're getting a number 20 ranked player. I mean, just, and I'm sure there's nothing going on, but it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good, and I don't know. I mean, my eyebrows went up just because how could they not? Will Wade's going to sign people, and our eyebrows are going to go up because we heard that tape.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, headed into a Pacers draft workout. Greg, we appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. Enjoy things today, and we'll talk with you again next Tuesday.
All right, Matt, get that 3-on-1 cleared up. Holy cow. People,
get your helicopter. Let's go. All right, great. Thank you. And again, Greg's segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed and it's warmed up a bit, don't forget you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice. And again, just a reminder that the 311 location in Sellersburg that Greg was talking about, the 311 is closed, but the new Sellersburg Coffee Crossing location still open. So make sure you drop by and check it out if you haven't already. I got out of the first segment quick so we could get to Greg. I knew he had to get into the Pacers workout, but a couple other headline-type things I do want to get to today before we have Mike Pegram with us a little bit later. Tim Miles, the former coach of Nebraska, it's hard to not like that guy. I liked him when he was a coach. I liked his personality. Of course, we remember him jogging back to the locker room and falling down and getting up and kind of doing a bow before continuing on back into the back of the arena. But since then, and then wait, the way he handled his firing, and Nebraska kind of strung him out for a bit, and everybody knew inevitably he was going to get canned. But the way he handled it, the way he kept a social media presence, the way he was positive, I think a likable guy. I wouldn't know him from Adam if you walked through the studio right now. He would not know me, but you're just somebody that you get to like. You kind of admire him a little bit, even though he's not had maybe the success that, you know, Nebraska wanted. I mean, I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all with basketball coaches, but he does tweet out some funny things sometime, and this was, I thought, very interesting. He put this in seven past seasons of the Big Ten, Michigan will have had two coaches, I guess seven seasons including next year. Michigan will have had two coaches. We don't know who Coach Beilein's successor will be just yet. Nebraska has had two coaches, Miles and then Hoiberg. Ohio State, within the past seven seasons, has had two coaches, Thad Matta and Chris Holtman. Indiana, obviously two coaches, Tom Crean and Archie Miller. Rutgers, two coaches, Eddie Jordan and then Steve Piccio. I may have mispronounced his name. Illinois, Gross and Underwood in the last seven seasons. Minnesota, Tubby Smith, followed by Richard Pitino. Wisconsin, Bo Ryan, followed by Greg Gard. Northwestern, Bill Carmody, followed by Chris Collins. In the last 7 years, there are 5 coaches still standing that have not retired, been fired, resigned, been replaced for whatever reason. Maryland, Penn State, Michigan State, Purdue, and Iowa. And I got to tell you, you look at Pat Chambers at Penn State, there has been some heat on him for the last couple of years, but he's been able to survive that heat. And maybe a little bit even recently with Fran McCaffrey as well, not so much this year, but some previous seasons. So interesting that a number of the schools in the Big Ten Conference in the past 7 years have seen coaching changes. I mean, that's a pretty good number. I would be curious to see the same thing laid out for the other high major conferences. But just five coaches still standing over the last seven seasons of Big Ten basketball that haven't been, again, resigned, retired, replaced, whatever the case may be. We got to talk IU baseball for just a second, give them a little love, and I'm sure Mike Pegram and I will get to this as well, the Big Ten tournament starting. Indiana, though, got a big, big feather in their cap over the weekend as they swept Rutgers, and Michigan had some trouble over the weekend. Indiana claims the regular season Big Ten baseball championship, and that is a big feat, obviously, especially for Jeff Mercer and his first year as the IU baseball head coach. What a pickup for them. What a momentum boost for them as they head to the Big Ten tournament with postseason baseball ahead for IU. Going to be a lot of fun to follow that as well. So we'll see where they head very shortly after the Big Ten tournament comes to a conclusion as far as what regional. Again, there was some talk about Louisville, and I know some people somewhat do projections for this stuff that know a lot more about it than I do. There was some talk about Louisville. There also had been, it looked like, some pretty good chatter about Nashville, which is tough because of Vanderbilt. Louisville, obviously, it's not easy because you know you're going to get Louisville there as well. But we'll see where IU baseball lands coming up here just really, I guess, later this week after the conclusion of the Big Ten tournament. But we'll follow them this week through the tournament. That will be a lot of fun as well. We'll head to a commercial break. Oh, the tournament is in Omaha. Somebody just tweeted me, wanted to know where is the Big Ten baseball tournament. It is in Omaha, Nebraska is where it's taking place at. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. You can stay with us for more. A lot of recruiting. We'll talk about the Trendon Watford fallout now that he's in the book, the signing book for LSU. What does Indiana do next with their scholarships? Do they pocket them? Is there anybody else out there? Is a graduate transfer possible? These are all questions that we've talked about before after IU's missed on other 2019 guys. The problem is this is really the last one on the radar. And now it's late May. What does Indiana do? Where does Indiana turn? The graduate market has slowed down greatly. The transfer market has slowed down greatly. What could be next for IU to fill or maybe not fill some of these scholarships that are available for the 2019 class? We'll start with that. We'll get into a lot of other recruiting stuff. We'll talk IU baseball and more with Mike Pegram when he joins us next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us to talk all things IU basketball and more. And obviously, Mike, we have to start with Trendon Watford, a longtime recruit of IU, obviously a deep connection with the family, as Christian Watford had some great years in Bloomington, but he ultimately picks LSU yesterday. I've seen a lot of IU fans surprised. I'm not so much surprised. I don't know that you and some of your writers are either, because there were a lot of people that thought in the crystal ball picks this is where Trendon would land, and he's long been a lean to LSU. Maybe a little glimmer of hope for IU when LSU had some issues with Coach Wade being forced to step down, but ever since he's been back and had a meeting with the NCAA and LSU, it's kind of been back to business as usual as far as recruiting Trendon Watford went. Do you see a big miss here for IU? Are you very surprised at Trendon not making an announcement yesterday for IU?
No, there was zero surprise. I put in a crystal ball pick for LSU, I think at least 2 weeks ago, and nothing we heard made me question that. You know, he hadn't visited Indiana in quite some time. I know he's been up here quite a bit when your older brother plays for a school, you know the campus, but you're going to want to get up to the campus and see and meet with the guys that you'd be playing with to ensure that you have good chemistry. He just didn't do that. And we had heard that he was looking to kind of create a different path from his brother. You often see that with, someone whose brother's been an outstanding player at a school. They want to kind of do their own thing. And that was the feeling we had with Trendon. There was a bit of a blip there with LSU in trouble and Alabama making a coaching change that I think his family actually reached out to Indiana to make sure they had that option, but we always kind of felt it was more of an insurance option, not a serious one. That's how it went down.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us. Concerns from IU fans about Archie Miller's ability to recruit. I guess if I was going to sit down and score the coach on his time in Bloomington so far, recruiting would be one of the high marks. Back-to-back Mr. Basketballs and some other successes in his recruiting marks as well. Don't you see some of these misses in 2019 outside of Trendon Watford, who there has been a long-standing relationship with? IU got involved with a lot of these guys fairly late in the process, and I don't ever make a whole bunch of judgments on recruiting when it's not something that's been going on for a considerable amount of time. Any concerns that you see or feel out there right now with where Indiana is at on a recruiting front?
They have to bolster their roster with some guys that can shoot and do other things, but they've taken care of the state pretty well. And the guys they've missed, they've made a strong effort for. But, like you said, back-to-back Mr. Basketball's 2 5-star stars in a row in the last couple of classes. But they will have to complement those guys with out-of-state players of note. This 2020 class is really the first major test of that. They're working hard with guys like Caleb Love and R.J. Davis, but these are not in-state kids who grew up, wanting to play for Indiana or having friends around them that go to that school. So they have to, and it is tougher when you haven't been in the tournament in 3 seasons to sell a kid. But that's what you get paid the big bucks to do. And I do think it's really important that this current team, this 2020 team, has to do something a little bit better than projections, show an upward trend. So that's why this season is going to be really important from a recruiting perspective.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is our guest. I know we've talked about this, it seems like, after each miss, and there have been a number of them in the 2019 class here lately, but where does IU turn from here, missing on Trendon Watford yesterday? Are there any other names out there in the 2019 class that IU's associated with at all or could become associated with that you're aware of? Or is there a graduate transfer still out there that's perhaps trying to see if he can fit in at IU as far as what he would study at the graduate level goes? Or is this going to be something where there may not be anybody added from this point forward to the roster for next season with some of those openings?
There is no answer. There is nobody out there right now that's that we're aware of or of that is a serious possibility. But I will say that history has shown a lot of players become available in the summer. I can remember Nick Zeisloff. We were over in that did happen right before the Montreal trip, and that Montreal trip I think was in early August. So that one didn't materialize until July, and we're still in mid-May here. Graduate transfers often have to graduate during the summer, and it may be a really difficult avenue to get that degree, and they don't want to put themselves out there early with that. And so I think there's always going to be a possibility of a summer addition, but there is no name right now that can pass along that looks like it could be that guy.
You feel, though, in your heart of hearts, there will be at least an addition at some point, some way between now and next season?
I would guess on 40% chance.
Gotcha.
So I would say it's less than 50-50, but I've been down this road before and thought it was done and it wasn't done. So I would say just slightly less than 50-50. They have 2 open scholarships, nothing to lose if it's a one-year player. They have to make sure it's somebody that can really help them. Right now it doesn't look like anything's going to happen.
Yeah. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike is always with us Tuesdays with a lot of great information. And, of course, this time of year, Pegs.com, the place to go for IU recruiting. If Indiana's going to fill any of these open scholarships, you can read about the prospects of that as it all happens at Pegs.com. We spent a lot of time in each segment today. Greg Doyle, the last segment, our headlines earlier, talking about NBA Combine in Chicago and some of the comments and interviews that Romeo had and perhaps where he could go. I've kind of targeted the 13 through 17 range for him, at least as there's been interest, it looks like. There have been interviews. There could be some potential needs that would make sense both ways in that range. So I'm kind of curious. I know you take a long look at this stuff. What do you see right now, now that the combine is in the books for Romeo? Do you got a thought on where he could go and perhaps you know, how it could shake out for him in June?
I would guess the 12 to 15 range. His measures were pretty good in Chicago. 6'11" wingspan is outstanding. And I think he was 6'6" in shoes, which is plenty of size for the two guard position. He just thought, you know, the wrist may help bring some question marks and maybe not allow him to execute really a lot of shooting in a one-on-one set up with an individual NBA team, so there'll be the outside shot issue that may push him like out of that top 12. But he'll get a solid contract middle of the first round, and guys really make most of the money, of course, on that second contract. So, and as you go a little bit later in the first round, the better the team will be. They'll be joining, and so it could be a better situation for him to go 13 as opposed to, you know, 5 or 6.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, who is with us on Tuesdays. We got to talk some IU baseball, Mike. Big Ten champions, regular season champions, in part thanks to their work against Rutgers, a sweep in their final series of the season. And, of course, Michigan had some struggles that helped Indiana into that position. But first off, and very generally here, what an unbelievable first year for Coach Mercer.
Yeah, especially considering they have to really close start. You know, or below 500 for a while, and they just got better and better as the season went along, and I think they're number 20 in the polls this week, and probably have an outside chance to host a regional. 16 teams are given a regional to host, but they're firmly into the tournament no matter what happens in Omaha at the Big Ten tournament. I think things get going tomorrow with that, and be interesting to see how they do, and the Big Ten will get several teams in, but Indiana's the team that ended up with the regular season title. The pitching has come on. They have, their third game starter, Andrew Saul Franks, turned into maybe a candidate for pitcher of the year. That makes their, you know, depth with over a tournament situation now that we will see the rest of the year. You know, gives them a good outlook for that, and they're leading the country in home runs. That just says it all right there. Broke the school record.
And again, I'm not as well versed on postseason NCAA baseball as basketball or other sports, but regular season champs, they're basically guaranteed an opportunity to no matter what happens. And I think Indiana has an opportunity here to compete for the conference championship. You would expect that as well, but Indiana will play postseason baseball, correct? Beyond the Big Ten.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They've had worse years by far than this one and still gotten in the last couple tournaments. And there will be at least a number two seed, and there's four teams in a regional, and they'll at least get a number two seed, I would almost for sure think. And now we're just kind of waiting to see if they have an outside chance at a one seed and a host. They probably won't because their top 50 record isn't quite as good as you need it to be against top 50 teams, but if they win the Big Ten tournament, I think it is something to watch for.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, with us here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. Fun to have you with us, and we'll do this again next week.
All right, man. Look forward to it. Take care.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Again, a lot of the things we talk about with Mike you can read if you are a subscriber at the Pigs.com website. Busy week forthcoming. Don't forget we've got sectional baseball. Floyd Central plays at Bedford against Jennings County in the opening round of the 4A sectional tomorrow night. The game is scheduled to be at 8 o'clock first pitch. If that holds true, we'll be on the air about 7:50, 7:55 or so at the latest. Of course, with weather and that game before it, you never know exactly what will happen. But we, nonetheless, at some point tomorrow night, will have Floyd Central's opening sectional game for you. Then we'll be back on Saturday. If Floyd Central wins, we'll do the first semifinal game, which could be a good one if it's Floyd Central and Bedford North Lawrence. We'll definitely have the second game no matter what. That is New Albany versus Jeffersonville. Both of those teams drew the bye. They go straight to the semifinals, and they play each other for the right to advance to the championship game on on Memorial Day Monday. And then we're back on Monday afternoon. We've got, we know either New Albany or Jeff, we're going to guaranteed of a local entry, at least in the championship game, because either New Albany or Jeff, whoever wins that semifinal, will go straight to the championship. So maybe it'll be two local teams if Floyd can work through the other side of the bracket. We'll be treated to back-to-back games between rivals. We also are paying attention to what goes on at the 3A sectional. There's a chance Silver Creek and Providence could play. And, of course, Charlestown there's had a great season as well. We'll keep you posted from there with some scores and updates, especially if it works into a great championship game as we think it might. I believe that's at North Harrison as well. So busy week of sectional baseball coming. Always fun to be out at a baseball park on Memorial Day. A great way to celebrate America's pastime, and been something that we've enjoyed doing the last, I guess, 5 or 6 years now, covering the local sectional action. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. We'll replay at 3 o'clock as well, so make sure you're with us tomorrow. And again, I'll be in studio Thursday and Friday as well. Won't be in Monday because we've got sectional baseball coverage coming your way, so I'll be on the road to Bedford during our program, but we'll have a local show live and local for you the rest of this week heading in to the holiday weekend. Have a great Tuesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.